The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The next article is titled, The Soul of Charleston. Get ready for a three-day adventure in Charleston, South Carolina. Explore the city's Black history, from the soulful flavors of low country cuisine to the coils of artistry woven into each handcrafted sweetgrass basket. See the sights and sip craft cocktails in the Low Country. Tour two very different plantations that pay tribute to the lives of enslaved African Americans, the urban Ikin Rent House and the McLeod Plantation. Break for lunch at Rodney Scott's Barbecue. His Hemingway-based Whole Hog Barbecue is loved by the locals. Then at night, sip craft cocktails and enjoy beats by a live DJ at Republic Garden and Lounge. The next article is titled, Rhythm Nation. UCL gymnasts Che Campbell, Nia Dennis, Marg, Zeta Frazier, and Sakai Wright bring the new wave of Black girl magic. The representation of Black women in gymnastics has expanded far beyond Diane Durham, the first Black gymnast to win a U.S. national championship in 1983, and Dominique Dawes, who in 1996 was the first Black female gymnast to win an individual Olympic medal. Now, when we think of the sport, we see ourselves reflected in powerful young women like 2012 Olympic all-around champion Gabby Douglas and 2016 Olympic megastar Simone Biles, the most decorated gymnast in the history of women's gymnastics. And at the University of California, Los Angeles, Bruins team members Che Campbell, Nia Dennis, Marg Zeta Frazier, and Sakai Wright are part of a whole new roster of Generation Z gymnasts. They are giving you an entire sermon in the way they perform, says sports journalist and host Carrie Champion, who praises the team's integration of Black culture into its sporting events. These women took a traditional sport and gave it something extra special. Together, these collegiate superstars are the embodiment of Black girl magic, Black girl excellence, and Black representation in athleticism as they soar to chart topping scores with cultural playlists, rhythmic floor routines, and Black Lives Matter activism. When I watch them on the floor, I feel just as much pride as I imagine they must feel performing their routines, says Ariel Chambers, founder of Highlight Her, a media platform amplifying women in sports. If you told me in 2001 that I would see stepping and pumping and voguing in a floor routine, I'd think you were lying, she adds. The young me needed them. The next generation deserves them. Marg Zeta, the rock star. Who else can say they woke up to a nod from their inspiration? Janet Jackson, after using choreography inspired by her hit If and Nasty music videos, that's what happened to three-time Uneven Bars All-American and 2021 Pac-12 champion Marg Zeta Frazier, 21, after her floor routine went viral. Being in a sport like this and seeing women of color rock the world really is a dream come true, says Frazier, who finished the 2021 season ranked number 6 nationally on bars and was awarded the first ever Pac-12 Coaches Choice Award. Gymnastics has consumed so much of our lives with the concept of flipping and being perfect, says the Sicklerville, New Jersey native. but being recognized by Essence for bringing so much more to the table than just athletics is truly an honor. Shay, the champion, recently named Pac-12 Conference's Freshman Newcomer of the Year, Shay Campbell, 19, has proved that age is nothing but a number when you have got massive talent. The Arlington, Texas native, who was the U.S. Junior Vault Champion in 2016, won the Texas State Championships on vault in 2015, 2018, and 2019. Growing up in the sport of gymnastics, I didn't see a lot of black people, says Campbell. I was the only one in my group that looked how I looked. Having more representation and seeing people thrive, not just black gymnasts, but also other races and ethnicities, is really encouraging for the young girls out there. Nia the Phenomenon, garnering attention from celebrities such as Missy Elliott and Alicia Keys to newly elected Vice President Kamala Harris, Nia Dennis, 22, has been taking no prisoners when competing. Whether she's paying homage to Colin Kaepernick by taking a knee or adding street dances such as the Woo, Dennis makes headlines and near-perfect scores every time she performs, says the Columbus, Ohio native. My main goal was to inspire people to do what they love and to have fun and be their most authentic self. So if we have done that in any way, then I would definitely say that the goal has been accomplished. Sakai the Scholar, after being invited to attend UCLA with a full ride scholarship, Sakai Wright, 20, approaches gymnastics with as much dedication as she does her studies. She placed second on vault in her first collegiate competition in 2019 and was named to the Director's Honor Roll Winter 2020. The Paramount, California native also recently performed a floor routine that was a nostalgic nod to every boy band you ever loved, from Boys to Men to NSYNC. Wright acknowledges that while most of the public feedback that Dennis Campbell, Frazier, and herself receive is positive, they aren't exempt from social media trolls who share negative opinions about their routine or style. We do our best to stay positive because we know what we are representing, she says, pointing out that the sport only recently became more open to black athletes. As young black women, it's satisfying that we can express and elevate our culture through our gymnastics. The next article is titled, An Unexpected Change of Plans, Black Women, Motherhood, and the Pandemic. More than 40% of women revised their plans for motherhood because of the global health emergency. Here are some of their stories. Last year, everything from remote work to education and mask mandates to stimulus checks became hot-button issues as the pandemic completely upended our political, social, and economic lives. Amid that upheaval came new concerns for women about starting or expanding their families. In June 2020 report, the Gutmacher Institute, a research organization dedicated to advancing sexual and reproductive health and rights, discovered that more than 40% of women had changed their plans for motherhood because of COVID-19. Of the 2009 cisgender women aged 18 to 49 surveyed, 44% of black women said they now want fewer kids or have decided to have them later. 17% of women, on the other hand, said they want more children or to have a child sooner because of the pandemic. Theologian and essayist Candace Marie Benbow falls into the later category. She chose to pursue mamahood as a solo venture despite the global crisis. It wasn't a decision she came to lightly. The writer had longed to be a mother, and when her own mother passed in 2015, That desire only intensified. Like many women, Benbow, 39, had patiently waited for the right time to manifest. For her, this meant having a flourishing career plus a marriage-minded cutie by her side. But life kept on moving along, and the so-called right time never came. After testing positive for COVID-19 and losing a dear friend to the virus, Benbow hit the reset button. I'm a firm believer that we don't survive experiences that could have killed us just to play small. The North Carolina native says now, we are given the benefit of life for a reason. So I took inventory of what I wanted my life to look like, and I understood that first and foremost, I wanted to be a mother. I'm someone who doesn't believe that motherhood is relegated to women who are wives, and at 38, I said I cannot keep putting that off. Last year, Benbow moved from Trenton, New Jersey to Atlanta to be closer to her village of support friends, including her Alpha Kappa Alpha line sisters. Some of Benbow's social media followers were hypercritical of her decision to intentionally raise a child without a father, inaccurately suggesting that only Black women do this. Thankfully, some family members understood Benbow's choice, even though a few tried to convince her to wait until the pandemic was passed, fearing that she'd put herself and a future child at risk of COVID. While Benbow knew their concerns about exposure were valid, she deferred to the experts, her therapist, gynecologist, and reproductive specialist, and her biological clock. She committed to dropping 40 pounds and undergoing intrauterine insemination, a procedure by which donor sperm would be placed directly into her uterus. She knew it wouldn't be easy. According to the CDC, success with assisted reproductive technology, such as IUI, varies depending on the clinic, the woman's age, and the fertility diagnosis. My reproduction specialist explained that most women don't experience success with their first cycles, Benbow says. So that meant committing to 3 cycles this year. At the end of the first cycle, we will evaluate if I have the capacity to do it again, physically and emotionally. The realities of being on the biological clock. In March 2020, when Georgia and the rest of the country shut down, Desiree McCarthy Keith, MD, fertility specialist and medical director of Shady Grove Fertility Atlanta, started having conversations about which patients could reasonably postpone treatments. Some women, because of various factors like egg equality and supply, didn't have the luxury of waiting for a post-COVID world. In the past 12 months, MacArthur's Keith patients have been forced to reevaluate and reprioritize their lives. While COVID caused some women to pre-pause on pursuing motherhood, others like Benbow had a greater sense of urgency. Fertility is time sensitive, MacArthur Keith says. Women who are younger may be able to postpone things for another year or so until everyone is vaccinated or things seem safer. For others, now is their time. Cultural influences and the myth that fertility assistance is for other people can prevent Black women from seeking treatment under normal circumstances, much less during a worldwide health crisis. There's a shame in the Black community because we are told that if you can't, then something must be wrong with you, says MacArthur Keith. This makes women feel isolated and alone, as if everybody's fertile but them. So they are just going to be quiet and suffer in silence. What's really important? In 2018, journalist and author Yvette Dion's fibroids made her lethargic and borderline anemic. She had a myomectomy to remove the non-cancerous growth, but was later diagnosed with heart failure. Then in 2020, she was hit with another health blow, this time pulmonary hypertension. Women with this progressive lung illness are often advised not to get pregnant. I was told there's a 50-50 chance you or your baby will die, or you'll both die, explains Dion from her home in Denver. That became top of her mind for me. I'm 31 years old. My eggs aren't viable forever. I'm single, so I need to start thinking about this. IVF seemed to be her best option, but since her heart medication was known to cause severe birth defects, Dion had questions for her pharmacist and cardiologist. Neither was sure of the effect the medication might have when she froze her eggs, so Dion chose to pause her medication. Her health conditions made her cautious of COVID exposure at the fertility clinic, which she had to frequent multiple times a week for 14 days. It helped that patients like Dion are tested for the virus before IVF and the egg retrieval. For Dion, infertility wasn't a concern, but she struggled with the idea of explaining to a future partner that she had gone ahead with IVF because it wasn't medically sound for her to carry a child. She experienced some of the fear and shame MacArthur Keith spoke of in reference to Black women choosing to become mothers via non-traditional means. It took 6 months for Dion to emerge from the dark place. IVF gave me hope because what's most important is that my child and I share DNA, she says now. Dion's therapist also encouraged her to see the positive in her circumstances. For one, she was able to afford IVF, even though her insurance didn't cover it. This may soon change with the proposed Colorado Building Families Act. The bill will require insurance companies to cover infertility treatments and medications. My therapist helped me see the beauty in knowing that there is light at the other end of the tunnel, Dion says. When the pandemic is over and I finally get to the point of finding a surrogate on the other side of that bridge, will be a baby whom I can love, shaping and raise. This is still a process worth pursuing. Let's wait a while. Back when some people believed COVID was no more troublesome than the flu, Nicole McNeil thought the media was just hyping up the virus. But as it claimed thousands of lives, she took it more seriously, especially when safety protocols prevented her from traveling from New York to North Carolina to visit her dying mother in the hospital. It's too scary to bring a baby into the world right now, McNeil says. The mom of one had planned to give her 3-year-old son, Noah, a sibling, but she and her boyfriend decided to wait until about 2024. As a medical assistant at Busy Brooklyn Clinic, McNeil developed a set of precautions to prevent spreading germs to her son, such as leaving her scrubs at work and sanitizing before hugging him after a long day of recording patients' vital signs. Although she'd like her children to be close in age, being on the front lines of the crisis and listening to pregnant friends who share their pandemic labor stories reinforced her decision to hold off on baby number 2. At 25, youth is on her side. My friends had to go through everything alone, McNeil says. I want my child's father at the appointment to hear the heartbeat and see the baby when I see the baby. What frightens the young mom most is the possibility of a new strain of the coronavirus forcing another New York City lockdown. She also worries about the long-term effects of babies being infected with the virus. You hear all of these stories about babies being diagnosed with COVID, she says. Their bodies are not able to handle all that comes with being sick. A view from the front line. Jacqueline Walters, MD, an obstetrician and gynecologist, says the pandemic has been a journey into the unknown for expectant moms. Last year, the information doctors received about the impact of COVID on moms-to-be changed almost weekly. We now know that your immune system isn't as strong when you are pregnant as when you're not, says Walters, who was featured on Bravo's Married to Medicine. But in the beginning, we were telling pregnant women that everybody is the same. It's not affecting you. You should be okay. And then it became, yes, pregnant women are more impacted by COVID than other women. Walters did see a slight increase in first trimester losses that are now attributed to COVID. Women would come in excited about being pregnant, and then 7, 8, or 9 weeks in, no heartbeat, she recalls. This was especially difficult because the women weren't allowed to bring partners or family members into the office. Knowing the agony women face after miscarriage, Walters tossed protocol aside to hug and cry with her patients who needed to sit with their pain. Now, as COVID numbers drop and more people get vaccinated, the Atlanta-based physician maintains that it's a personal choice whether to postpone or pursue motherhood during this time. She realizes that different factors like advanced maternal age will come into play. However, she says, if you're under 35 and have no medical conditions, I'm all for waiting until we're in a better setting. And we can include dad or other family members in the delivering room. If you need that interaction, I support you in waiting, especially if you're younger and can afford the time. The next article is titled, Are You a COVID Long Hauler? While some seem to have recovered, others are still dealing with symptoms months after being diagnosed. What to know about long COVID and how to get support? The public health impact of the COVID-19 pandemic has been profound, and it isn't over yet. Some patients diagnosed with COVID-19 experience physical and cognitive symptoms, some for the first time, many months after they were first infected, a condition commonly referred to as long COVID. Symptoms range from mild to severe, with some people unable to work or being repeatedly hospitalized. While COVID-19 vaccines were developed at record speed, doctors are finding solutions for long haulers to be a little more complicated. We are still being humbled by COVID, says Daniel B. Fagbui, MD, a former Obama administration biodefense and public health appointee and ER physician. We don't know everything yet. We are still learning. In December 2020, Congress provided $1.15 billion in funding over 4 years for the National Institutes of Health, NIH, to research these prolonged symptoms. And in February, the NIH announced a major initiative to study what the scientific community officially calls post-acute sequelae of SARS-CoV-2 infection. Help can't arrive fast enough. About one-third of people who get COVID have these lingering symptoms, says Lauren Powell, an Atlanta-based board-certified family medicine physician. Here's what you need to know if you or someone you love may be suffering from PASC. Prevention. Powell emphasizes that maintaining good health is the best way to lessen chances of serious complications from the virus. Overall, our pre-existing core morbidities conditions are not only putting Black people at greater risk for getting COVID, but also putting us at greater risk for having this prolonged COVID symptom, she explains. Diagnosis. People with mild cases of COVID-19 usually recover within 1 or 2 weeks. Patients aren't considered long haulers until after they've experienced symptoms continuously for 3 months or longer. Acute COVID-19 is how we refer to COVID symptoms that last for up to 4 weeks, notes Powell. Ongoing symptomatic COVID is technical term for symptoms that last between 4 to 12 weeks. But if you're suffering with symptoms that go beyond 12 weeks, then you're a long hauler. You have what we call PASC. Symptoms. Despite no longer testing positive for COVID-19, patients with PASC can experience a wide range of physical and mental symptoms, including headaches, body aches, extreme fatigue, and depression. You can have brain fog where you're not able to think clearly, explains Dr. Others have tachycardia or palpitations, where the heart feels like it's racing or beating really fast. More serious heart and lung symptoms can also linger, though these are less common than fatigue. Shortness of breath is a big symptom, along with chest tightness or chest pain, and then coughing, Powell adds. Patients may also have extended periods of insomnia and loss of taste and smell. Follow-up. If you're experiencing symptoms of PASC, the doctor recommends seeking out medical center or clinic that supports long-haul COVID patients. There are so many academic centers doing research that will follow the patients and make sure that they are doing okay, he says. The best thing you can do to advocate for yourself is to follow up with your physician. Keep in close communication with your doctor, says Powell. We want to make sure things are getting better. If you're still feeling badly, it's critical that you are seen and evaluated. The next article is titled, Man Cave Approved. Celebrate the devoted dad in your life for Father's Day with a gift to help him unwind in style. As the world beyond our windows slowly begins to reopen, the new normal is still coming into view. For now, home is our happy place, and even if it's Dad's man cave, has never looked better, and there is always room for an upgrade. Help him get the most out of his me time with one of these Father's Day gifts. There is something here for every type of dad on your list. The dapper dad, the music lover, the culture guy, the sports fan, the artsy type, and the multitasker. The next article is called Stress Less. Thinking of ways to manage stress can feel overwhelming. Here are 7 life-changing ways to find your center. 1, practice mindfulness. 2, do what brings you joy. 3, get your steps in. 4, stay hydrated. 5, limit time on social media. 6, plan ahead. 7, catch some Z's. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.